Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
I can't go for that. No, no, no can do. I can't go for that. Can't go for that. Welcome back.
Yes, a little Hall and Oates. We're rooting for y'all.
Can we give a quick sorry? Is it early? But can we give a yes to Hall and Oates to get together with a mediator? Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's like Ben not talking to Jerry.
Right.
How can Hall and Oates right. argue? What is going on?
I think that hurts everybody's heart. Like, no.
I'm just laughing.
Welcome back.
That was all my heart. I've been listening to Hall of Oates today. Like, please get it together.
Get it together, because we cannot. We're already in trying times in this world right now. And the last thing we need is for Hall of Oates to break up. Okay.
Come on, Hall. Come on, Oates. Get it together.
All right. Well, how's everything going, best friend?
Good. We're back from a very long Thanksgiving week. Yeah, it's cold here in New York. I think today was like the first day. I was like, gotta get those scarves out. Gotta get those gloves. Gotta get those hats. But I am good, busy, and blessed with me and my doggy son, Nino. How are you? How was your break with husband?
Oh, it was so relaxing. I loved it. I wish we had more of those periodically, right? Because it was like 5 days from like
the best
day to Sunday, like basically a full week, a full work week. You had off and you got your leftovers. So you just eating and you're watching movies and TV and being cozy in the house. Oh, I loved it.
I absolutely
loved it. I loved it for everyone who got to enjoy their Thanksgiving break that way. And
also people doing Friendsgivings. I want to just give a shout out to those people who just don't want to be or can't be around their family. Sometimes your friends are all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really all you need is some damn food. So just, if y'all all like each other and love each other, come together, bring a dish, and we have our Thanksgiving. Because, people is moving, people be moving to different states and cities, and you got to kind of create new families and new dynamics. So, yes, shout out to Friendsgiving.
Yes, and shout out to the TV that comes out during the holiday season.
Yeah.
Because I know it's about to be a Christmas movie time where you watch all your movies.
I already got Home Alone ready. I was trying to make Mark watch it, but he was like, can we wait till Christmas? I was like, fine. So we did watch this movie called Thanksgiving, that slasher film. It's so cheesy. It's such a cheesy slasher that it's actually funny. So yeah, we watched that like right while we were having dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and at finishing dinner. It was like, it was actually really funny. But with that, let's officially get into our weekly grab. What's first on your list, best friend?
So first on my weekly grab is kind of a new show to some, but an old show to others. One thing I like about Netflix and most of the streaming services is they'll give you a show that you might have not have seen. This was on BET Plus. I didn't have it. Now it's on Netflix and I finished it. It's First Wives Club. It's the Black TV show version of the movie. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie, but I still love that movie with Diane Keaton, Bette Midler.
Yes.
And who's the, Goldie Hawn. Yes.
Yep.
Those three. Basically, they're ex-wives in all different ways, and they're trying to just get what's theirs. The show is different because one, it's Black women. Two, not all of them are ex-wives. You see one couple really going through the ins and out of like going through a divorce and getting separated or starting a divorce and realizing they don't want it. One couple definitely doesn't make it. Another couple, something happens. I don't want to give too much away. But it was the perfect Thanksgiving weekend binge. It was 30 minutes, three seasons Of course, BET Plus played it and it unfortunately got canceled. I'm praying Netflix sees that they Black women need shows like this. As much as I love reality, I also love seeing like drama and comedies with us leading. Yeah. Kind of like an Insecure, but it's with older women, all established of some sort, of some kind. So it was a really, really, really good show to see. And it was funny. Michelle Buteau was a star in it. Jill Scott is not only a good actress, but that girl can sing. Yeah, so I love the show.
That's what we knew first.
Yes.
We knew she could sing first, and then she let us see, like, oh, baby girl can act.
And what I love is that in the show, she plays a pop star, but it's nothing like who Jill Scott is. Oh, so it's like a different aspect of her.
Yeah.
She's more outrageous and crazy, but it's such a funny show, such a good show. Such a good show you could watch with your friends, watch with your boo, watch by yourself. But I just lived for it and I finished it in like a day. So First Wives Club on Netflix.
There's no confirmation if there'll be another season.
No, it kind of got canceled. And then a lot of BET shows, Family Business. There's another one that's on Netflix are coming to Netflix from BET. There's another one on my watch list, Family Business, that I've never heard of before it was on Netflix, but apparently it's really big. So I'm a little happy that for whatever reason they're giving this market, which is unfortunate, but BET, I usually don't go for their movies or their series, but they got some good stuff. I got to get it together because they deserve my watch. So Family Business is all on Netflix. What's on your weekly grab?
First on my weekly grab is also on Netflix. We were both watching a lot of Netflix. a movie called Rustin'. It's a biographical film based on the civil rights activist, Bayard. Bayard Rustin. I guess his first name was like Bayard, not Bayard.
Oh, Bayard Rustin, yeah.
Bayard Rustin. Bayard Rustin. I'm saying it like he's French. Bayard Rustin. Basically, he was forced to take a backseat role in the civil rights movement for being gay, despite like he really led monumental strides within the movement, like the March on Washington and the Freedom Rides. He was the basically leader in helping shape Martin Luther King into the civil rights activist that he was, like with even like taking a nonviolence approach and becoming like the face of the movement. You see the opposition that they were facing in that with like haters within our own community, always from the NAACP, but also like Colin Powell, not Colin Powell, I'm sorry, Adam Clayton Powell.
You said Colin.
Not Colin Powell, my bad. Adam Clayton Powell, who has a whole avenue named after him in Harlem, but you pretty much see how like he was just crooked. I mean, I watched the show Godfather of Harlem,
yes,
about Rusty, whatever the guy's name that was ahead of Frank Lucas, but Bumpy Johnson. I say Rusty.
Yes.
And so from that show, I was able, you start to see like how corrupt and crooked Clayton Powell was. So now what Rustin shows you is how Rustin and MLK were organizing a planned peaceful protest, and Adam Clayton Powell was so against it. And he threatened them to not do the protest, or he was going to release rumors that they were having a gay affair.
Wow.
Yep. And it worked. MLK canceled the protest. And then to avoid the rumors, remember, they were also made up rumors. They were not true. Rustin agreed to resign from the NAACP. And so all of that was really the byproduct of Adam Clayton Powell just being a hater.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch. Yeah. I love like old school drama. Time,
so you're seeing Rustin get forced to take this backseat role in the NAACP while still like you could tell he is kind of the people that were able to speak up, like MLK, or, you know, we went to Randolph High School. Shout out to Glenn Turman, who is also in the movie and plays A. Philip Randolph, because he was one that was just like a loyal friend to Rustin throughout it all. And so you see them speaking on behalf of Rustin in these meetings, because it's like Rustin can't really speak. And it's like, it's messed up, because it's like, oh, why? Because he's gay. But then you have, you know, they're showing you how kind of teasing throughout the movie how everybody knew that Martin Luther King was cheating on Coretta. Everybody knew, you know, it was not no secret. So, but no, let's put, he's fine. He's eligible to be the leader of this movement because he's not gay. So You know, just a lot of just highlights of, you know, the strides for Black rights, the strides for gay rights, and just, you know, kind of giving credit to Rustin that he never really got to see in his lifetime, because, you know, he did get the the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That was posthumously. Like, he got a building is named after him in like Jersey somewhere, all of that posthumously. So he did start to get a lot of credit after he died. It just didn't really happen during his lifetime because he was gay. But amazing bio film on Netflix. Rustin. Oh, and Coleman Domingo. Man,
love him. Happy birthday. Today's his birthday.
Oh, today's his birthday.
You don't know me, but happy birthday. Yes, I follow him. I love him. He's my gay uncle in my mind.
He's what? Oh, he's what?
He's my gay uncle in my mind. Like, in my mind, we know each other.
Well, he's an amazing actor. Like, we all know him by face through, like, over the years, other stuff he's been in. He's about to be in The Color Purple, too, playing Mr. And he just has range. Like, he's in Euphoria. That is an actor's actor. True artist.
Yes.
So shout out to him. He did a phenomenal, phenomenal job and a great film. So if you have time, check out Rustin.
And a little TBD, because I know a lot of random facts. His first, like, acting gig, him and Kate McKinnon from SNL, they used to do, like, the gay sketch show on Logo back in, like, early 2000s. There's YouTube clips I can send you of him being Oprah and Kate McKinnon. They were on, like, a sketch comedy show on Logo with gay people only. It was hilarious. I probably was the only one that watched it. But it was really good.
The only one. That's how I knew it. Watching Logo. But yeah.
I was watching Logo when RuPaul's Drag Race season one was on Logo. Okay.
Yes.
Support my people.
So that was like, what, 2008?
Girl, seven? Probably. Yes.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Really long. But shout out to you, Coleman.
Yeah. He's amazing. All right. And what's next on your weekly grab?
Well, it kind of, looking at my phone, I was talking about white people. It fell. It kind of. It goes kind of with everything you just said about just racism and Black people, because this was a documentary on HBO Max, kind of a three-part series, less of a documentary, called Savior Complex. It was about a woman who decided as a teenager that her calling was to be a helper overseas in Africa. She joined one of those missionary things where it was optional, and she chose after high school to go to Africa and help get kids. She got so passionate about it that she opened up her own kind of center. And then the girl became a doctor. She started telling people what they had, what they don't have. Mama, she's the only white woman there. There's nurses and doctors fully accredited in the country of Africa. And she's like, no, listen to me. So, like, they're telling her, this child is malnourished. You need to give him that. She's like, but do you see this hurt? Mind you, she's never been to a medical school. I don't even think she has a degree or any type of certification in medicine, but was able to diagnose hundreds of little Black kids in Africa. And nobody was basically, well, it depends on who you listen to. If you listen to her and her mom and her people, she did what was right. Like, nobody was helping these kids. She opened up a center. It was right. You listen to a prestigious doctor. He's like, yeah, I couldn't get away with that. And I'm Black. And I have my PhD. I've been a doctor for 20 years. She wouldn't listen to me. I was telling people she didn't know what she was talking about. But there's, like, you know, there's a slang word. But there was, like, you know, the white skinny woman, she knows better. So then you go into this whole, they had like an anti-white complex group with one white woman who used to be a missionary and realized she was racist, and one Black woman. And then that white woman in that group ended up being her own kind of, like, racism and stealing money from the group. It's just a mess. But it always goes to ask you, like, what do you think people look for when they help those that are not people, white people? Do you think there's a such thing as them going to help? The whole adoption of Black kids versus all the white kids that need adoption, things like that. It makes you think, are there certain people out there who look down on different races and go towards those races like they need them and kind of don't listen to other people? So they give you both sides, which I like. It doesn't say that she's right or she's wrong. She cannot go back to Africa. She's banned. She did adopt a little Black girl before she became a quote unquote doctor. So now the little Black girl lives in Virginia, in the whitest city ever in Virginia. So it's just, I think it's interesting. I loved how they didn't say she was wrong or right. They showed both sides. Her, like, I really tried to help people, even some African people. Like, yeah, she was great. But then you have some doctors and nurses. It was like, we were telling her she was overdosing. She wasn't giving it right to them. And two parents actually sued her for malpractice because their kids died and she wasn't licensed to do anything medical on any kids. So if you're looking for a documentary where you can ask the question like, who do I think or what do I think? Savior Complex is really good.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about it. I was considering checking it out. I haven't watched it yet. I know I'm probably just going to get upset at that white lady. I don't take away from what she probably was trying to do. I just think like, and oftentimes we even see with just other way, you know, like you see white evangelical pastors going to Africa praying for people. It's like, I think there is a part of like a white guilt that they feel because of like, you know, just slavery and the oppression that ended up happening as a result of slavery. There's just so many other ways, workable ways to kind of reparate, you know, give reparations to Africans, the Black community, that should be considered other than, you know, whatever she was attempted to do that might have possibly led to the deaths of a lot of kids. And are, you know, I was talking to that one pastor and he's, you know, he just was so, you know, happy about the work he was doing. I mean, he goes to Uganda to pray over people and, you know, they kind of believe in these. Like, I laid hands and people who couldn't became walking. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, and he was actually, we were on a flight to LA. He lives in Naples, Florida. And he was coming to LA for the first time. He was going to be staying downtown LA. I was like, well, you'll see. I was like, there's actually, there'll be a lot of people out on the street that you could lay hands on here. And, you know, try that as well. If that's,
I'm just like, yeah, just worry about home first. Cause I understand. And when you look at the doc, like her intentions weren't bad, but when she decided to become a doctor with a stethoscope and acting like she knows water levels and not even get trained, that's where you gotta look down on her because you knew that you didn't know what the hell you were talking about. And you still decided to help people. And that was wrong. And now you're banned. And everybody knows. But that was mine. What's next on your weekly grab?
I was just going to shout out The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. This season, I actually really like it. It's really just been a breath of fresh air with Lisa Rinna gone. So I'm this feud we're seeing between Kyle and Sutton is very entertaining. I actually like seeing Sutton kind of stick up for herself and kind of have more of a voice and even hold Kyle more accountable. And I'm interested to see how this develops because it's like, at the same time, it's kind of like Kyle and I don't think it's new that she picks at Sutton, but at the same time, it's like this time it's kind of just interesting because, I mean, we've always kind of said, Kyle, you be all up in what everybody else got going on and don't want to talk about what you got going on in your own home. But at this time, it's going to be hard for her to avoid that because now there's these reports that are surfacing in the press about her and Mauricio. So Sutton's kind of already been inching at that and their last sit down where Kyle left. But I'm interested to see how that develops. And then on the other hand, we have Garcelle and Dorit. And I just don't know if they'll ever truly be genuine friends, the two of them. But I love how they handle it with just kind of the backhanded shade. Apologizing to each other in person, you know, for how this is how I feel, but this is how I feel.
Why are you getting mad about how I feel?
Yeah. It's like hilarious. They're both very respectful, but Garcelle been taking some shots in her confessionals. I know it's going to get brought up, you know, at the reunion, because it's like, you got to think like, Dorit didn't know she said what she said. And then it's like, you wait till it airs. And then you find out Garcelle took a shot at, you know, the suspicious nature of your robberies. And then you see that Garcelle is liking a lot of tweets about how uncomfortable Dorit was coming off being at her event for Black Girl Missing, which I noticed that too. It's like all of a sudden you have PTSD been around a lot of people, but just, you know, what, a week ago you were in Vegas at the Magic Mike. You were absolutely fine. I mean, Dorit did always give me entitled white woman vibes. Like, I've always gotten that from her since she first came on the show. But it kind of comes like, there's just little microaggressions that are visible in her confrontations with Garcelle. And I think oftentimes you know, we Black people notice those things, right? Especially like in work environments, we notice those things. And I think now with a show like Housewives of Beverly Hills, where, you know, everybody watches it, a big white audience watches it, I hope that white people are able to see that and recognize that and then, you know, check themselves in the event that they might be doing that in the workplace or in certain settings to someone of color. Cause yeah, like, girl, like, don't treat me no kind of differently. Don't talk to me no differently. And then if something happens and I respond, don't pull the aggressive or act like the, it's like, don't do that. Don't do that.
And you don't know what you don't know. I feel like Doree's probably never even had a Black friend ever. Right. In
really,
her life.
Yeah, like a real
and so she's
friend.
Probably been walking around normalizing it. So one thing I'm happy with cast like this is that they bring a Garcelle, not just a Black woman, like they tried to do with OC and that girl last season, don't remember her name, but a Garcelle, a Haitian, 100% Black, steadfast, strong. Yes, I got a white baby daddy, but I do not care. I know I'm Black type of woman. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like she's what they needed. And somebody like Doree is going to learn today because the nerve for you to all of a sudden have PTSD.
Yeah, that was like, that was a little weird. And then like, even just where they're kind of showing, cause what was it? It was like her reaction or was it Kyle? It was somebody basically being a hypocrite. One of the two in regards to, Sutton, I think Sutton has a drinking problem. Now it's a concern. But then when Erica was under the influence and cursing out Garcelle's 14-year-old son, it was funny. So yeah, you know, just like little things like that. Just check it. But ultimately, I still like it. This season is not infuriating me. I look forward to watching each episode. Them, Housewives of Miami, Housewives of Salt Lake City are giving me breaths of fresh air on the Housewives tip. So yeah, so shout out to them. And I think last on our weekly grab, we have in common.
Yes, I watched this game as soon as the show came out, all 5 episodes. I'm applying for season 2, so get ready to see me in my green and white jumpsuit and my white Vans.
Okay, we are talking about Squid Game, the game show that is currently streaming on Netflix based off of the scripted series that came, you know, it drew fanfare when it came out, last year? A Korean-based show. And we all just loved it here in America, so much so that we created an American version. And I was entertained. Me and Mark, we binged the whole all 5 seasons on Sunday. And I liked it. Like, I really liked how they kind of kept the dynamic of the actual show. I did wish that they continued the paint pop when someone got eliminated, because it was
You mean when they would die? I love when they was fake and dying, and you know they're alive, but they just
it was so funny. But at the same time too, I believe that's what they did throughout the actual show. So I think anytime someone got eliminated throughout the rest of it, I think they should have got paint popped. I don't know if it really hurt, so they were like, okay, we'll cut the paint pop. But it was like really funny because you know that they're not actually dying, but then you like see them like fall, just lay to the ground. It's funny.
And then they get shot and they're like, duh. And they wink in it. I love you.
Yeah, I love you. All right. The first episode, it kicks off with this older lady who's like, I'm going to make it. I know how to survive. And she dies immediately in the red light, green light. It was just.
No. Can we have a moment of silence for Doc? I understand my old Black girl.
We're trying to get the one, right.
People out with the father, the old guy and like the son figure who had a fucked up father. When she sent them to home, I literally like almost shed a tear.
Yeah.
I understood.
It started to get really shady when they were like sending certain people home or voting for people. Like I was like, ooh, it got really dicey. The one kid,
the landing like, guy, the European gay guy, when he got mad at the older mother, and he was like, I'm not going home. They're not going to vote for me. And when he went home, he was like, how dare you?
Yeah. Yes. I kind of wanted 179, the sassy Black girl. I was like, they should have voted for her because she was just doing too much when he went ahead and threw in the Asian doctor dude who was just trying to organize that strategy. I get where she was going, where she was like, we got to put in another name. But the way she went about it was just like, it was just a little too sassy for me.
It was just wrong. But
yeah.
I do like how they're taking aspects of the show. Like, you clearly can't kill people. How do you feel about, like, no front man? Do you want one? Do you think they're going to have one, like, in the next couple episodes?
What was the no front man thing?
Remember, there was a guy in the series. I don't know if you remember, but the actual show, there was a guy in the black mask who was doing all the stuff. Oh. As opposed to the woman who, like, he had the black mask. He was in the room with the camera.
Oh, right, right.
The front man. Oh. He ended up being that guy that got pushed off the cliff.
Oh, right, right. I mean, I don't think they, I think the real element is the games. So
yeah,
just as long as they do the games and there's a winner in the end, I think that's the main element that needs to just stay. Because I think they got something here. I mean, I was hearing like people were suing because they were saying that they yes. were sleep deprived and sleep deprived. I didn't know. I mean, I can understand if you're having them hungry to a certain point, especially when you're doing certain things like where they were bringing in the food and everybody took that guy's yeah. food. But I do think like once the cameras are off, like people need to eat. And yeah. I don't think that should be something that you really are taking to heart where you're not feeding people, especially you got people of a certain age up in there. You need mm-hmm. to feed these people. So get that together, because that is
because you ain't killing me for real. You need to feed me.
Yeah, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, how are you really starving me for this damn show? Like, I can understand why we're filming and it's like the element to like for certain things, but no, feed these. What are you doing? Like, I couldn't believe that when I saw that in the news. I was like, wow, I thought that I didn't think they would really do that. You know what I mean? So they mm-hmm. need to get that together, because now that's why they got a lawsuit on their hands. You can't be playing with people eating food because you want to create a show. What the hell is that?
Yeah. And this is a really good show. Oh, also, last thing. I really think that actually Doc might be the old Chinese version. Do you remember in the show when the guy who was playing was actually rich and we thought he died, but he actually was the one giving the money? I think that might be Doc. Stay tuned in episode 9 to see if I'm right, y'all.
Which one is Doc? Because I don't know people's names.
So, Doc is the old white guy who had the tattoos, who he was like, we love the Gangnam Strong.
Oh,
the older white guy who was like, my kids and my wife, they're going to be so happy I stepped out. And he's a retired doctor.
So you think he...
He's a beneficiary. I think he has money. I think remember the old guy in the show got voted out.
Oh, yeah. The girl sent him home and the kid with the mullet home.
Yeah, so maybe the old guy might be the twist, like the old guy was in the series. So just
that would be interesting. That would be interesting. But ultimately, good show, great show. As you can see, we all liked it. I think it's for anybody. You're gonna watch the first episode and you're just gonna get into it. So
hooked. Even if you never even watched the series, I think you'd still like the game.
I think watching the game is probably a little better than the series because nobody's really dying.
Oh gosh, imagine 400 something people that girl, that was emotional.
And I mean, I'm just gonna say it's in English, you know, so like Squid Game is like subtitled the actual show, so yeah.
Yes, and it was filmed in London. I saw they filmed it in like two weeks in London or whatever, and everybody was from America, UK. They went to a lot of influencers too. A lot of people were normal. A lot of people were influencers. So I can't wait to see who wins. I don't think they really win $4 million.
You know, the one kid who was really cocky and was like kind of starting drama with people, he ended up getting out, eliminated in the warship.
Yeah, the battleship.
But I knew right after the battleship, remember they had to start voting people out. I was like, he would have got sent home right then and there. So he would have been excited that he made it through battleship. And then he would have got voted out, and that probably would have been worse when everybody votes you out.
Oh my, especially because they show it on the screen.
Right. So I'd have been one of those that just voted for whoever else voted for you. I'm not going to get caught up in having to put a new name up on the screen and now eyes are on me. No.
Y'all said Dr. V. I'm voting Dr. V.
Yeah, we voted for Dr. V. Who's next?
All right, him right there. All right, bet. Yeah. I'm voting for him.
We are not doing that.
I'm trying to make it to number one. Like, it's just a lot of people. But
people out there putting targets on their back. Not I.
I wonder if they really win $4 million.
And it was when they were thinking it was going to be, no. Once it was that part where they had to decide the shape.
And then
if they were having difficulty deciding, the whole team got eliminated. I was going to get eliminated because you're not going to force me to take some damn umbrella. You're not, because you saw what was happening. People were being so, so sneaky and shady with running to the circle or saying like, oh, I'll do this. But then they went and run to the circle or the triangle. And then they left only the pansies, you know, the pushovers got stuck with the star or the umbrella. And the one guy who ended up getting forced into taking that umbrella, he was crying the whole damn time. And then he got eliminated. And most of the people who ended up in that row of line of him that had to were forced to take the umbrella, they all got eliminated. It just wasn't fair. And I would have been like, nope, we all eliminated y'all, because I'm not taking this umbrella. Sorry. I'd rather somebody else behind me in the line get forced to get into that umbrella than me. Because now you also got to deal with the pressure that now everybody who is in your line got to do this damn umbrella because you are a pushover and got forced into this. Nope.
And the way he was like, listen to me, and you can help me out. And then the lady says, no one can help you out.
Like, right. And then he's like, I'll help you out. No, you can't. Because look, everybody went in separately per shape. And then you just lied. And that man took your word for it and ended up getting eliminated. I would have been like, nope. I'd have been like the first two groups. It was hilarious seeing group after group get themselves eliminated because people couldn't come to a decision. But I don't care. I'm not taking this umbrella. Paint pop.
Put me on that heart. I'm going to that heart. I don't want to hear nothing else about anything. And he was
like, everybody knew the easiest ones was the circle, the heart, and the triangle. If you had the umbrella or the star, it was just more difficult. And it just wasn't fair. The odds were already against you. So, not fair.
But some people made it.
Some people, like out of the umbrella crew, it looked like only what, four people made it?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fair. It was clearly a way of just weeding out a big chunk of the group. But I did like that twist where it ended up being Battleship and not
tug of war, but that is coming.
Well, I think they did a good job at kind of getting, you know, because they were already cheating. They were putting all the strong guys together. Like, oh, we got this. I was like, I can't believe y'all going to cheat like this. It's just so crazy to show what people are willing to do for money.
And Battleship is the best, like, even game. You don't have to be strong or fast. Yeah. You literally just have to think. I love when they had the British gamer. She's like, guys, I got this. I'm a gamer. She's at C3. Don't do C3. So I like the people. They have a very good, what's 459 people? So, of course, you're going to get a lot of personalities.
Yeah, and they had to dwindle it down like they had to.
Yes. And I like the interview so we get to know them.
Yeah.
And then they show, like, what happened. So I'm just here for it, Netflix. I'm gonna check my email for auditioning for season two, okay? I'm gonna just check. I'm gonna check my email.
Well, I know y'all reaching good luck out to that, because I know I'm too emotional for that game. I'm gonna be cursing people out. I'm like, oh, so you gonna vote for me?
You gonna vote for me after I
really just stopped?
Really?
Yeah, no, and all of that
helped you with Battleship, and you got both for me.
Yeah, and I can't sleep in a room with all those people like that. Hell no. And then some of the bunk beds stacked to the damn sky like I'm Princess and the Pea. No, we're not doing it. Like, no. But yeah, great show. But all right, let's get into our piss poor. Okay, you go first.
Okay, so my piss poor is to a group of people. I don't know your names, but for the people who would put Queen Keke Palmer in her golden era self,
yes,
outside in a rented Airbnb,
yes,
and think that this award show is being creative and inventive, y'all piss poor as hell. Okay, yeah. Soul Train Awards. I was excited. I watch faithfully live the Soul Train Awards almost every year. It never disappoints. I love the Lady of Soul Awards. I will give them a little yes because they changed it to Spirit of Soul because they gave it to Janelle Monáe and she classifies as non-binary or identifies as non-binary. But why the hell was it outside? How you gonna give me T-Pain hits in the rain and the wind?
Yeah, okay? I didn't like that. I think it was a budget reason. Awards are just every year after year, it's kind of been on a downward decline with viewership. But still, this is LA. Like, there are so many theaters they could have gotten.
I'll be damned if it was a budget. I refuse to believe. I think they wanted to try something new and different and it failed. But I thought maybe just one performance, but the whole show, first of all, it was cold. It's LA, but it's cold.
Yeah, it was cold. It wasn't. Freezing.
It was at nighttime. Mm-hmm. You see Keke looking beautiful with the wit. It just took away. I couldn't focus on anything because I'm like,
How the hell are y'all outside? And even when the Grammys did it during COVID, they mixed it up. They had like, I think, two people did outside. Everybody else was inside. And then they spaced them out on different stages.
Yeah.
BET, the producers. I hope that wasn't Jesse Collins. Jesse Collins, don't make me go on your IG and tell you about yourself. Because y'all just took away what could have been a perfect show. But putting it outside.
Agreed.
So they get my piss poor. You don't ever do an award show outside. But outside one performance.
Right.
Who's yours? Because I'm over that. I was so mad that my Sunday, I couldn't groove to the groove because all I heard was wind.
I mean, I did see a bit of T-Pain's performance. And yeah, I mean, we all love T-Pain. So he can do no wrong.
How much better would it have been
if it was inside.
In a damn arena?
Exactly. Yeah, agreed. Completely agreed. My piss poor is also going to an ensemble. I am giving it to the entire Real Housewives of Potomac. Everyone. Mine is probably Karen Huger. Mine is Karen. Even Candace. I love Candace. But Candace, you being on this goddamn Deep Space tour and really just kind of not being there to back your girl up. It's the whole, this whole season is a huge chop to me. It's been a slow decline, honestly. Let's be real, since season 5. After Monique left, but that season with Monique was even the buildup, right? Because Monique went crazy. I do feel like her anger was misdirected at Candace. Most of it should have went to Giselle and Robin. But Giselle and Robin have been able to successfully, and Ashley, have been able to successfully bring down the vibe of the show. So what you're seeing with season 8 is just, it's clear division, right? Like, it's to the point where, like, it's obvious who doesn't like who. They won't speak. They won't give each other eye contact. They don't engage. And so how are you supposed to have an ensemble where it's really dependent on the group dynamics and like little catty banter if some people really genuinely do not like each other? Like Giselle refuses to speak to Wendy and Wendy is just returning the energy. I will at least commend Robin for, because you'll see Robin will speak to Wendy. Like she'll say hi to her, but they don't like each other. So there's no real dynamic between Wendy and Giselle and Robin. And then that's a disservice because ultimately Wendy has been turned into the antagonist, or not the antagonist, but like the target on the show, which it's like, that's never fun, right? You just heard me describing Housewives of Beverly Hills, where it's an even feud exchange between, you got Kyle and Sutton, you got Garcelle and Dorit. You know what I mean? Like, even at times it was like Dorit and Erica. Like, it's like even, it's an even exchange. But when you have a group who is just primarily targeting one person, it's not fun. It's actually bullying. So it just, everything feels very negative, way too clicky. Alliances clearly need to be broken because what you now see is you have the people that basically want to be up under Giselle and Robin. So it's like they're kind of forming this alliance where it's like they have Mia on their side and Ashley, who I always felt like Ashley really has no clear loyalty to anyone. But at this point, you know, Ashley and Candace, you know, they don't really get along. And then we know that Candace is going through a lawsuit with Ashley's ex-husband. So there's that. And then we just saw Ashley create this whole fake feud with Wendy and NECA, where NECA was probably coming on. Let's be real, why the cast production probably hired NECA. It was to combat the claims of colorism. So it's like, oh, let's bring on another African woman, another Nigerian woman to even it out, as because we do have, you know, the cast is predominantly filled with like really, really light skinned Black women. You have Karen, Giselle, Robin and Ashley. And not only are they really light skinned, like in ways they can be kind of white passing Black women. They exist. They're all throughout our community. But the fact that it kind of turned into, you know, you have Housewives of Atlanta, where you kind of get a mix of different spectrums. Most of them are brown skin, but it's like it kind of was always a little weird when you look at a Potomac, which is a predominantly Black environment, DMV area. And then it's like, well, how did you end up with this cast full of mostly light-skinned women? Like, it had been like that from season 1. So Candace comes on, Wendy comes on, and then now they bring in NECA. It's like, okay, you're hoping that it comes with some balance, but no. Early on, Ashley kind of creates this tension between Wendy and NECA by bringing up this Osu claim. Ashley went back and told Wendy that NECA brought it up when that wasn't the case. And so now NECA is saying that Wendy's mom went around calling through the Nigerian community and allegedly saying she'll put her name in a shrine. And they are really entertaining this as a storyline, a storyline that takes complete judgment on a whole culture and community and religion. And it's like, what the F? How did this turn into this? It's not even making any sense. This has never, ever been what Housewives is about. And now it's gotten nasty to the point where you went from talking about colorism to now we having debates about witchcraft. This is just it's a new low. And ultimately, it was started by a half white woman. And Ashley's sitting there looking guilty as hell when NECA and Wendy are going at it. And Wendy ends up saying, like, look, Ashley told me you brought up these OSU claims. But now, so what I think happened, because now I'll be honest, again, I did not watch this last episode. And that's really what my piss poor is coming from, because I'm checking out of Housewives of Potomac. The way Tanea has said that she only watches Love and Marriage Huntsville, which is way better, in my opinion, than Potomac at this point, because it's fun. Like, it's just fun shade. The way Tanea watches Love and Marriage Huntsville through clips, that's where I'm at with Potomac, because now it's just like, it's just, it, you bringing me down. I'm not going to sit here and take an hour out of my time to watch something that's going to bring me down. As a Black woman, it's really disappointing to watch. And you see, now I will admit, I do think that Wendy was deflecting. I do think that Wendy didn't want to admit, like, yeah, my mother called, but I think Wendy should have just been real and said, my mother called after I was told you brought up such and such and such and such. And then it would have went back to Ashley, who started the whole thing. But no, it
what
just...
What are you talking to me about my mama? I don't like that. What my mother do, my witch. Sister, that is not me.
Yeah, like, why are you talking about my mom? Then it turned into Facebook. It was just like, it's so stupid. And the fact that this is supposed to be a height right now of the season, the two Nigerians fighting over their culture and allegations of witchcraft and shrine, and voodoo, like, it's disgusting. And I can't believe Bravo allowed it to get to this. But when you ultimately look at what Bravo consists of, they are white. They don't know and they don't care. And I'm hoping that they are seeing the feedback from the actual Black community, from the African, from the Nigerian community, of really, people are upset. A lot of people are saying they're checking out. I'm not the only one, but I've really just been, I was already feeling like this. I didn't need no one else to say it. I was already feeling like this. If we could go back a couple of episodes, I was already saying, like, I was just like, this season is just not it. It's just not it, because it was just like, it's coming off again. Like, you know, when it was coming around, it's like they're icing out Wendy. Wendy's just again talking about her newest venture. And she's getting just, I could feel the tension through the damn camera, just watching it on TV. It's like, what's the point of this? To me, it's like, what's the point? And like, y'all are basically trying to force her to quit, right? Because it's like, at this point, it's like, why am I here? So then what, you want her to quit and then you bring in somebody new and then they become the target or whatever. But then also, why do you get your way, Giselle, Robin? What are you really bringing? Giselle, Giselle has no storyline at all. And Robin, at least we are entertained by her marriage. Like, I will give Robin that. Like, so it's like, if we're going to talk about a cat,
I'm over her. It's fake. I think Giselle and Robin need to go. I could deal with Wendy. I could deal with Candace.
No, I think Giselle and Robin need to go. If Phaedra can get fired for lying on Candy, Ashley knowingly, she admitted that she lied and fabricated that. It's just like, I just don't think that's fair. She gets away with it. And at the end of the day, what are you really? Because you could start a pot. We could get somebody else to start a pot. It's easy to start a damn pot.
Karen does it in a better way. Like, yes. I feel like life stirs the pot, but I do. It just feels different. Like I said, I do actively watch. I did see yesterday's episode. And that'll go into like the next segment. But I will agree with you with the fact that it feels different. Mm-hmm. Whether the white people see it or know it, or just like we said earlier, sometimes people just don't know what they don't know. It looks very scaled. Mm-hmm. It's not right when people just don't hate each other and they're not friends. But what aggravates me is I feel like, in my honest opinion, the producers went to Giselle and Robin at the end of the reunion and was like, look, bitches, Robin, you lying. Giselle, you knew. y'all better do something or y'all gotta go. So yeah. I don't think Juan and Giselle ever had a conversation. I think that's a lie. Mm. I can tell Juan does not want to be on TV, but he has no money. And Robin's like, if you're gonna cheat and make me look stupid, you gotta do what I say because it's our only source of income. Yeah. But I want them to be fired and not have any sources of income because I hate that you're trying to convince the world that you're happy. Bitch, you're sad.
Yeah.
And I pray she loves herself more to know that she deserves better than that. But I do not disagree with you. I do not disagree with you.
Yeah. At this point, the alliances need to be broken. I mean, you saw how it helped Housewives of Beverly Hills because Housewives of Beverly Hills was getting a bit dark last season. But they got rid of the catalyst. But I also think like Lisa Rinna got rid of herself because she was leaking stuff to the press. So it's like you're not having that issue with Potomac where people are leaking stuff to the press, but they're destroying the show. They're destroying the dynamic. So something needs to give in regards to a cast shakeup. And I think the only people that should be able to stay are the people that really kind of don't have issues with filming with other people. And so if you want to talk about who got issues with filming other people, Giselle is number one. And honestly, she has no storyline. Stop with all the favoritism. She needs to go. She needs to go.
Ooh. And random, you know what I just thought about? What other like Housewife season has made it 8 seasons and kept over 50% of their cast?
Right.
They were because the there's 8 women now, but 5 have been this in season 1. Ashley, right. Cameron, Robin. No, 4. No, Ashley, Cameron, Robin, Giselle.
Yes. And that's so probably cool. What starts to happen when you have the same women for too long. They start to feel too powerful. And too big.
That's it. Even look at NeNe in Atlanta and Bethany and things. They had to change up something.
Yeah.
So yeah, you had Bethany and Ramona and then Jill, but then Jill left for season 3. And then she came back for season. You gotta switch that up. The Karen, Giselle, Robin, Ashley, that has to be broken up. Like 100%.
Most definitely. But not Karen.
No.
But all right, we're done with dragging them. It's honestly just really disappointing because that went from being one of my favorite franchises to now literally, when I say it is my least favorite, it is my least favorite franchise. If they brought back Real Housewives of Dallas today, I would watch it over Potomac. Okay?
And to your point, girl, TikTok and Twitter and the YouTube, all the bloggers I follow, they're saying it's cringe. They're saying they don't know what's going on. They're saying they're over it. So it has been more so on your level of people checking out than like usual. So, girl.
So we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, the viewership is going to speak for itself and production is always going to do what's best for viewership. Because even at the rate it's going, it's going to be another cringeworthy ass reunion. Another one. Mm-hmm. And what y'all gonna have Andy up there talking about Nigerian culture and voodoo? Oh my Lord. This is just a hot mess. It is a hot, hot, hot mess. Like I cannot. And then we ain't even talk about Giselle and Robin trying to feed into these rumors that about Candace's husband that we now found out were a complete lie. They gotta go. They gotta go.
The cast needs a shake up.
She's bringing on Jamal. Of the cast. She's bringing on her ex cheating ass husband to talk about this voodoo stuff. Next, I cannot check out. And I can just watch the clip on Twitter or TikTok and talk mess with the rest of the Housewives community. I don't need to give Bravo my views on this because I cannot believe you are entertaining this. It is just a big, big, big disappointment. So whatever. Let's get into our yes.
All right. Then you want to know why I get into Potomac? Because of my yes. It's Karen, real queen of Potomac, no other grand dame. Hugo.
The real grand dame.
You are just a breath of fresh air. You're 20 times 3. I love it. I love how elegant, honest, raw, classy. I pray to God I'm able to live to 60 and just look and be like you. But she's old, so the humor. Okay, so yesterday, because you didn't watch that little pickleball thing, Robin came looking like she was trying to catch something, but she was with Juan. Karen said, what the hell are you wearing to damn pickleball with everybody and their husband? Ain't nobody looking at you, not even Juan. And she was like, oh, cut that. And you just She
said that to Robin.
She said it to the confessional people. Asked Robin what she was wearing, though. She was like, Robin, what's going on? She went to confession and was like, y'all, don't nobody want her looking half naked, not even one. And then it's funny because they cut to him like with the men, ignoring the hell out of his wife. And then, of course, you know, they have the back commentary where they're saying things. And Karen's like, oh, you know, Juan loves me. You know, he loves me. Get rid of everybody but Karen, who's been there from season one, because one, definitely. She's actually married. Two, she understands that I could beef with you, but I still got to be around you.
Yes.
And I don't want to take money out of her and Ray's retirement plan. So my yes goes to Queen Karen.
Honestly, there is no reason to. Karen gets to work.
Yeah.
Karen gets to work, and she is the perfect combination of all the OG housewives that we love, but even better, right? Nene was jealous. Karen's not jealous.
Yes.
Teresa is also like a little insecure, jealous. And then the way she goes about it, she could be a little nasty with it. Karen, no, baby. You're not going to see me sweat. Even if my wig is falling off my head, okay? You're not going to see me sweat. Even if my husband is going through financial trouble and you're trying to put it on the back of a t-shirt, you are not going to see me sweat, baby.
Period. She's like, whatever, I guess.
Yes. And she always rises above. She's able to put down her foot when need be, and then still play nice with you next season. Like where the little meeting she had with Mia, she shook her hand. Like she is a true, like not even just a true housewife. Like she's just showing women how it's done. Right. Because you could lose a lot of sleep and stress and add wrinkles to your face and age yourself by losing sleep over a bitch who don't matter. You know what I mean?
Period.
You got a man at home that loves you, taking care of you. You got people that really ride for you. You got your children that, you know what I mean? You got real love and all of that. You don't need to worry about none of that. And look at how amazing, phenomenal. She looks younger than Giselle.
She looks amazing.
Yes. So to me, honestly, like I was saying, I think Karen, as of right now, should be the only one who could stay. I do love Candace. I think Candace issues out good reads. I think she's very fair. Like we were even seeing that in this group dynamic where Wendy and NECA was arguing. Like Candace wasn't trying to overly come in and defend Wendy, but she was defending Wendy. She was trying to be a bit of a voice of reason. And Candace is funny. Like she's the one that got us all calling Giselle neck. Like it's funny shade. She is married. We all are rooting for her and Chris. We want to see them welcome a child together. And even with Chris continuing to be a target, I think that's a good element to keep her. But honestly, as of right now, I think I'm okay with any of the remaining cast going. Giselle is the one I would say needs to go. But
I don't know why NECA is a housewife.
Oh yeah, no, understand. She gotta go. I'm sorry, I forgot about her because she's so.
I'm not
she
interested.
She can be a one and done housewife. Very much.
Y'all could have gave me my Jacqueline back. Justice for Jacqueline.
Yes, justice. Okay. Justice for Jacqueline. And let's not forget look at everything that's already happened so far, and we still know that a whole fist fight is on the way.
And a scholar. Why are they giving bitches like NECA glass flutes and a scholar?
The gutter. This is just the gutter.
She's beautiful and pregnant in Paris right now, a scholar. She's having baby number three. But that's my yes. What? Let's talk. Forget about Housewives of Potomac. Who's your yes this week?
Oh, my yes is going to Benny of Black Cake. I think she redeemed herself with this last episode where, you know, we were all upset with her at the end of the last episode, especially with her brother getting arrested in her honor for defending her with the damn colonizer, abusive ex-boyfriend. But we see Benny pick up the pieces with that situation. And then even where as it relates with just kind of being able to bring the siblings together because they did find out they got a new sibling. And you got to think that's a lot for Mabel, who's coming from London. She's just finding out that she was adopted. She's finding out she's Black. Like it's a lot. It's a lot. And then the nature of how she was born, conceived.
Yeah, so that's a lot of trauma to find out.
It's a lot for her to take in. And so she's having difficulty with even want to continue on in the process. But Benny is the one that we get to see. Benny, who also the actress who plays Benny, is also in this movie, Rustin. I was like, oh, look at her. Like she's doing her thing.
He played Emmett Till's mother in the movie too.
Oh, she, that Which movie? Because not
the movie that came out just recently too. Benny is his mother.
When she that's not her. Let me check. Cause that is more, let me see, Till movie. Cause that's more of a I'm thinking of Mammy Till. I don't know which Till you're talking about. Not the Till that came out in 2022.
She was in a version of it. I think it was on the
There's a whole bunch of there are a few like movies or even like docu kind of like, you know, reenactments. The one, it's the 2022 drama. It was Danielle Deadweiler who played Mammy Till, because she was like, I remember she was doing that little flickety eye thing when she was giving her testimony. I was like, that was definitely not the girl who plays Benny. But Benny just takes on that role of bringing everybody together. And it's good to see that, because we also know what she's coming from, with having felt like shunned from her parents and everything. So it's just like this last episode, I won't spoil it because Tanea still hasn't watched it. But each episode ends with a crazy cliffhanger. So now I'm like ready for tomorrow's episode. It'll actually be coming out by 9 p.m. tonight. So I'll be watching it. And now they're kind of all together continuing on. But I think this next set of information, it's going to be a lot for all of them, but definitely for Mabel, just based on, because I guess what we were assuming was the terms of how she ended up being adopted. It's not like, Cubby has some damn secrets. She had some real trauma and some real stuff that she was battling throughout her life. And, you know, it's like, wow, it's a lot. But so Benny redeemed herself. I wanted to make sure I gave her my yes, because she you know, I dragged her ass last week in my little rant. You can see my rant on our Instagram page and our TikTok. she redeemed herself. And again, I just really, really love this show. It's just turned into my favorite thing.
Yes, I'm going to catch up right after this, and I call my mom because I definitely want to know. But I love shows like this where it's interesting, it tells a story, and it's not predictable. Because every time I love things where you just don't know, so I can't wait for like the next twist. And how many more times she gonna give us a damn twist? Are they probably trying to do something so they could do a season two? I'm rooting for a season two.
Oh yes, there has to be a season two, because this one, it's like it's really, I think it's successful. You know, like people are like tuned in week after week. I don't know. It's based on a book, so I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
where they could take
call it brown cake.
But yeah, right. Brown cake, white cake,
call it brown cake.
Pink cake. There's so many
purple
ways.
Cake.
There's plenty other colors of cake, so we can just keep it going. Keep it going, baby.
Give me yellow cake and tell me the Asian version of this story.
Yes. I want to see the Asian version. I want to see the
English version.
And Puerto Rican version.
I want to see everybody's story. Give me Mabel's parents' story. Give me a birth story. They dad.
What I love about it, like the diversity, like just highlighting Jamaican culture, Caribbean culture. You know, you don't really see that. Like, you just don't. You don't really see it. It's typically, even I was, somebody I work with, a colleague is like calling out GQ, and their lack of really representing Black men on it that aren't rappers and athletes.
Real shit.
But what about Asian men that dress really nice and are just real GQ-ish and Spanish?
Simu Liu is fine as hell. Barbie. I love him.
But he's an actor. So it's like, if you are going to highlight distinguished men, it shouldn't only be one type of man, right? I think that goes across the board for everybody. It's not just Black, it's not just white. Like, I want to see people represented. So yeah, I think that's one of the really beautiful things about Black Cake. It's like giving light to just the Caribbean culture, because yeah, they don't really be shows about it.
A lot of people don't know about it. So shout out to you, Benny. You redeemed yourself because you got red, but now you are unread.
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 Let's get into our positivity. What you got?
When you wake up every day, you have two choices. You can either be positive or negative, an optimist or pessimist. I choose to be an optimist. It is all a matter of perspective, by Mr. Harvey McKay. So be positive every day of your life, people. What's yours?
Fill your life with adventures, not things. Have stories to tell, not stuff to show. And on that note, what's our closing slogan, bestie?
Love, abundance, and non-synthetic hair bundles.
Ooh, yeah.
Because we can't go for that. No, no. No, can't.
No, we can't go for that. No, no. No.
Why have we never been hauling out to Halloween, best friend? I feel away.
Okay. And on that note, bye.
Bye.